Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. And as always, I'm joined by my buddy, my pal, Mr. Matt. Up in Maine, the hotel coming to you from the road. No, there's not a Super Bowl or any kind of sporting event up in Maine. Do they even have sports in Maine? It's basically Canada, I think.
I gotta say, I asked, who I'm working with up here, and I said, "Is hockey big being right near Canada?" He's like, "Oh yeah, but not here. We just go to Canada for the hockey stuff." I'm like, "Oh, so nothing. They don't have football out here. Like, they have zero football. I guess like 2 hours away, a team started an 8-man team. Is that like, it's not quite 7-on-7? I don't know what an 8-man thing is. Like, I know 7-on-7 is essentially football with no linemen, right?" What's eight? One center?
They got 8-man football here in Iowa, too, I think, in high school.
Okay, like some so that is a thing. So I guess they're all pumped up about that because they believe that that was the nugget. Now there's like some youth league. So they're assuming that like over the course of the next decade, football will become a thing here, which I don't see why it's not. I have no idea why it wouldn't be. There's some come across some rather large individuals up here in northern Maine. In the Knicks.
The only athlete I know from Maine is Julie the Cat Gaffney from Mighty Ducks too.
She was an athlete, dude. She was awesome.
Bangor, Maine's finest. All right?
Bangor, Maine, baby.
She was a stud. We don't win the Junior World Games without Julie the Cat Gaffney. Okay?
No.
Just so you know, so Team USA all the way. Cooking.
Julie the Cat.
The Cat Gaffney. Maddie, so last week we dove into an early look at the rookie class, getting people prepared. Senior Bowl has now since wrapped up since then. So I think, you know what? It's a perfect time for you and me to go mocking, to do a little mock drafting here. We're going to bang this out. Rookie mock, you versus me. Every other pick. See how this goes. Just full disclaimer here. We're very early in the rookie process, so lots of things will change, but I want people to kind of get an idea. And I think this exercise will be more about, those people who are doing their startup drafts right now and using those kickers as rookie pick placeholders and kind of how you want to value these. So this is kind of the lens we're going to approach it from, but we're also going to talk prospects. We'll dive a little bit more, might be a little bit more redundancy, but we also do got the Senior Bowl that is a wrap, so some of these guys have risen, some of these guys have fallen, and the Combine is just right around the corner right after my Eagles win the Super Bowl on Sunday.
You excited?
Yeah, duh. Duh.
Do bears shit in the woods in northern Maine? Yep, they do. Yeah.
Do I have a beard? Yes. Speaking of bears, man, I just popped an edible the other night and watched Super Troopers. It's a fantastic experience. Everyone should do that. I can't believe I've waited this long to do it. Not watch Super Troopers. I've seen that, 7,000 million times at this point, but getting high as shit while watching Super Troopers is a fucking blast.
I don't want a large farm. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
So talking about bear shit in the woods. Hey, bear fucker.
Hey, bear fucker.
Do you need assistance? All right, Maddie, what are you doing? You take a pick one, pick two. Which one do you want?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take pick one because I'm going to take the easy way out.
Do it.
It just, when When it's a one-man draft, at least that's kind of how it feels right now. And this is Superflex, right? We're doing the Superflex thing. And we gotta
let's establish the full context of the league.
Yes, right? We need to.
12-team Superflex. PPR scoring, of course, because we're not heathens. Let's call it a half-point tight end premium. You know, you're run-of-the-mill. Start 11 lineup league. Pretty basic. We're some basic girls on this night. We're drinking White Claws.
Hey,
it's okay. Painting our nails.
Having a slumber party, if you will.
Let's go. Talking about boys.
Even in Superflex, I could be swayed on this pick two different ways. One being, I just fall in love with Cam Ward throughout the process. He goes 101. You know, Brian Callahan, the Titans build around this kid. That can sway me. The other thing that can sway me is if Travis Hunter comes out and says, you know what? I'm going to play predominantly receiver, put me in sparingly at cornerback, but I'm going to be a predominant receiver. And if things don't go well both ways, I'll settle at receiver. He's my 101. We talked about this. And I was actually, side note, I was talking to a buddy of mine what he thought about Hunter, and he brought up a good point. If a team decides that Hunter is going to play mostly corner and come in on certain plays on offense, you're kind of tipping your hand if you're that team. Every time Travis Hunter's on the field, you're assuming that motion means something, he's going to go his way. But if you do it in reverse, you play him mostly as a receiver and put him in nickel packages, you put him in fourth and goal from the 7 to stop someone on the outside, you can really take advantage of the two-way ability more. So I'm starting to lighten up on the usage of Hunter, and we talked about that. If he's going to come out and play a lot of receiver, he's so good. Without that knowledge, like you said, it's early on. I am going to go with the Heisman Trophy finalist. I'm going to go with Ashton Jeanty here. He's got the size that we're looking for, over 210 pounds. Obviously, a complete monster of a season. He has great contact balance. He showed that when he ranked first in yards after carry per attempt. He was very elusive at Boise State. And even though the stats weren't there against Penn State in the playoffs, if you use your eyes, you watch the game, you still could see that this kid had some juice and that he was a weapon, even when his team was clearly outmatched and Penn State was just stacking the box looking for him. So I'm happy with Jeanty here at the 101.
I think we talk about a 101, and I'm going to be really, really, really adamant about it right now that taking Jeanty at 101, and let me say his last name right too, otherwise people get mad. Just full disclaimer here, I'm a Midwestern guy, so I just say last names however the fuck I feel. Like, however I feel, that's how they go, all right? We mispronounce them all the time here. It just happens, okay? It's not that I've never watched Ashton Jeanty tape, all right? Stop the bullshit. I watch football, a lot of it. The problem I have with taking Jeanty, 101, is Superflex. Quarterbacks around the world. They just do. Jeanty can be fantastic, but Maddie, to your point about where it is, we're doing this right now. There's still some unknowns on Cam Ward. There's unknowns on Travis Hunter. There's unknowns on, you know, Shedeur Sanders. There's unknowns on Tet McMillan. There's a lot of unknowns in this class. We just don't know. We don't know what the draft capital is. It really feels like taking Jeanty is just the safe pick. It is just like, I don't want to get fucked. I don't want to get burned. I don't want to sit here and regret it. So if your nuts are on the line right now and you have to make a choice, nobody's going to be mad about taking Jeanty, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be sad. I just don't think he's that holy cow, clear-cut, runaway, 101, what are we doing here? Primarily because he plays a running back position. It's just not, even though this last year running backs, you know, ran leagues, won leagues for you. I'm not gonna throw out 5 years of a bad trend on running backs for one outlier year where I go, okay, we're definitely back. Now everybody loves running backs.
Save that for the fish, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not really ready to do it. So that being said, I'm happy you took Jeanty because I'm gonna go ahead and take Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Sitting down, a little teaser for the people too. The South Harmon crew has a draft guide in the works. So we are aiming for the end of the month. very beginning of March for the release date. So keep an ear to the ground on that one. Maddie, I just so happened to be doing the draft guide write-up on Cam Ward and sat there last Saturday, just put on Cam Ward film, watched away, took notes, wrote up my little piece on the draft guide. I'm in love. I'm in love. It's a new love. I fell in love with Cam Ward's game. And and I got a great comparison to it because the week before I sat down and we watched Shedeur Sanders tape in the Discord, patreon.com/South Harmon. Thursday night film sessions, watching Shedeur play, watching Cam Ward. It was like watching two different quarterbacks from two different worlds, man. Like, one was like, okay, I see it. He's got leadership. He's got, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there watching Cam Ward tape by myself on a Saturday going, holy fuck, I got to rewind that. You see that? I'm like talking to nobody who's here. Like, you got to see this. Wait, I'm the only one here. Like a psychopath. He makes some absolutely incredible plays. He does have his knocks. He does have his weaknesses. He is still, you can definitely tell, coming from a unheralded background. He wasn't going to all these Elite 11 camps and out here just, you know, playing these 7-on-7s tournaments for his entire life. He didn't get recruited to a big school right out of high school. He's had to get it out of the mud, and every step of the way that he has, I think he's gotten better every single year. Putting on tape from last year to this year is like night and day. And if that progression continues with what I saw from his skill set already that he showed at Miami, he's going to make somebody in the NFL a really fucking happy GM and coach. They're going to look really good. So Cam Ward for me at 2, Maddie, I'm just going to roll with the super flex. I think this dude definitely is going at worst top 3 in the NFL draft. I'm locked in on Cam.
Yeah, I mean, there's 0% chance he slips past Vegas at, what, 6?
Yeah, none.
That's good enough. That's good enough there. And I will say this about Ward. I've really warmed up to the profile, obviously because he has the talent, but after seeing how much the experienced rookies performed this past year, that is a trend. I'm not going to get on the running backs all stay healthy and we're all in this candy land of running backs. I'm not going to fall for that, but I might fall for the experienced quarterback and how that can really make a difference in year one. We saw, obviously, with Stroud having all those starts under his belt at OSU. Last year, we saw it with Bo Nix. We saw it with Jaden Daniels. We kind of saw it in a flash with Michael Penix. So I do like the call on Cam Ward. My next pick isn't necessarily my second highest rated rookie, but you, my friend, and this is a bone that I will pick with you, Michael, you kind of poisoned my Tet McMillan well a little bit. Because I went back and rewatched some film, rewatched the South Harmon's film study as well, and you were right. A lot of his wins do come from the slot. And a lot of my least favorite prospects in the history of prospects are big receivers that can't win outside and they win in the slot at the end of, at the college level. Now, I'm not completely pushing away Tet McMillan just quite yet, but I have sunk him in my overall ranks. And I will go with Shedeur Sanders here at the 103.
Yes.
Quarterbacks around the world. And my mock, my NFL mock 1.0. Yeah, that's right, folks. The NFL mocks are back. I caught the bug. You can get that at southharmonff.com. And the reason why I caught the bug, Mike, you want to go ahead and tell our listeners what we're doing Mondays over at the Patreon, the Discord now.
Yeah, we just did the first one last night. Mock draft Mondays, full NFL drafts. We don't just draft offensive players. It's not just a fantasy draft, which I had to point out last night, too, when we did it. Koopa. On the first mock draft Monday of last year, of 2024, pulled out a name out of a hat that I had no idea who the hell that player was. And he goes, at the end of the first round, I'm going to take Quinyon Mitchell. And I went, who the fuck is this guy? Like, why are you taking this small school corner? He goes, trust me, he's really good. And here we are, Quinyon's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Probably the best defensive player in the league. All right, I'm just kidding. He's not the best defense, but he's... he's goddamn good. He's goddamn good. So I love these mock draft Mondays too, because we've had numerous, numerous situations sitting there as a group doing these exercises and drafting teams. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then you start watching him and all of a sudden you're like, damn, they were right. The NFL is onto this guy. Like, the NFL knows what's up with this guy. You just see the buzz steadily rise. So it's always a fun one. We did our first one last night. So you want to talk about Shedeur Sanders? We had the Giants trading up to number one with Tennessee just to ensure that nobody could jump in front of them to take their guy, Shedeur Sanders. So he's a 101 in our mock draft Monday, Maddie. So you took him at the third overall pick. That's not bad in a super flex rookie draft. I think you're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. And, you know, my NFL mock 1.0, I had him going 3 to the Giants and do trades. But I think with this kind of, at least what we're both kind of picking up here, is there's definitely a vibe around NFL circles that Brian Daboll and the Giants are enamored with Shedeur. They understand that he can bring in that, you know, that jet, like the moxie, the confidence to handle the big city, the Big Apple. Plus, we talked about how good it'll be for Malik Nabers. We saw how he hyper-focused on Travis Hunter. He will do the same for Malik Nabers, so we love that. But getting him at the 103 here, I think it's a high floor, but I definitely think it's a low ceiling. But in a super flex draft at the 103, I'm willing to buy on the ceiling, buy the low ceiling, given the fact that I think he is a potential week one starter in your fantasy lineup.
So as it stands right now, where we're at here, Maddie, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this one, but it feels like this is the end of tier one of the rookies right now with comfort level. This is, I think Cam Ward's going high. I think Shedeur is going high. And I think Genty is a locked in round one running back to somebody, and he's good. Everybody else that I have question marks about draft capital. I have question marks about where the landing spot's going to be. I have question marks whether they're actually even good or not. I don't know. It really feels like we got a tier one of three players. And if I was to put that in startup terms, if we're doing this in a startup, Maddie, as it sits right now, until this rookie hype really starts to take off with just these three guys, because I'm not going to lie to you, all three of the prospects, I told you that I'm in love with Cam Ward, but he's not Jaden Daniels from a running standpoint, right? So, like, he's not going to break a fantasy league. He's not going to – I don't think he's a threat to be, you know, a top eight dynasty quarterback in 2 years, right? Like, I don't think that's the case. A good outcome for my favorite Cam Ward would be if he can make back-end QB1 consistently, like if he kind of be in that range. All right, I got him with the second pick or the first pick in my rookie draft. That's fine. Like, that's not a loss. That's a hit. I did that's it. Right. I just don't think any of these guys are game changers outside of maybe Genty, right? Genty could be that guy, depending on where he goes and what the workload is. So if I'm sitting here in a startup draft, I understand the hype's going to build around these picks. It's just not like years past. If I'm doing a startup right now, Maddie, I'm not taking one of these rookie picks in the first round, which in other classes, you know me, we do startups together in the offseason all the time. Yeah. I'm always that guy who's picking at 11, 12, taking the first kicker, right? Then taking the second kicker on the way back.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing it this year. I think there's a lot of other good NFL players in a startup I'd much rather have. Right now, I'd probably put the value-ish, like, I might start in like the mid-second when I thought about taking the first kicker. I don't know about you where you're at on it, but just right now, as we sit here at the beginning of February, I'm not getting rock hard thinking about these rookies.
No, because I think in this, I've only done a few mocks, so I don't have the concrete evidence, but my gut feeling tells me that I will be outgunned for Genty, so I won't get him. And after that, if he's off the board, I'm probably not taking one of those picks until, call it the 304, 305, kind of mid-third, because I'm with you. I kind of want to, and I want to reframe the question this way for those who aren't doing the startups, but they're kind of crafting their rookie drafts. You have the 101, and you earn the 101. You know what I mean? The 101. Are you open to trading back to a contender, hoping you could get two prospects, future picks? You can really cash in on the windfall, because I'm just wondering, is any true 101 roster a Genty away from riding the ship?
No, they're not. So they're not. It's a story that people are going to tell themselves that they are, but they're not.
Right, and you're not getting the haul going from the 101 to the 105. But I do think you could get the Hall going from the 101 to the 112. Get the 112 future first, Jalen McMillan, you know, those type prospects, the, you know, the Blake Corums, the Trey Bensons, the guys who didn't fire as rookies, you know, really get a package of potential players to revive the roster. That's, I think that's something I'm willing to kind of explore.
Especially if we're talking any type of draft. Now, I know it's not super common for a lot of people. We're trying to get there, which is a big purpose of our rookie draft guide. Maddie, you know, once our relationship started to form, I got you in a lot of leagues that draft pre-NFL draft rookies. Mm-hmm. If I'm in any type of league like that, abso-fucking-lutely, because as we keep going on with this exercise and we start getting in the second and third round, dude, get the 111, get the 112, get a future first, and, you know, if they got a third, a second, whatever, add that shit on too. Because yeah, the odds are, and the odds are this running back class is extremely fucking deep. This tight end class is extremely fucking deep, loaded with really good players. And that second, third round, if you're doing anything pre-NFL before landing spot and draft capital is, there's going to be a shit ton of surprises where you're like, yeah, damn, Devin Neal really went in the second round? I didn't see that shit coming. Or, you know, Taj Brooks went in the early third to the Bengals. Like, oh, he could have a fucking role being the number two to Chase Brown or whatever it is. All of a sudden, you're going to go like, really, how far off are they from the 101 when I took a running back at Gentee versus that guy that I got with the 210? Or maybe that dart throw running back I got in the third round that got surprising draft capital. So you're not that far off. So if you do anything pre-NFL draft, abso-fucking-lutely you should be exploring it. If you wanted to wait, though, if you're a post-NFL draft like a normal person, I understand. Maybe it'll be a little bit more crystal clear, but I'd still be very open to the class. Just really doesn't have that that punching power, that superstardom written all over it, especially if it's being headed up by a running back and two quarterbacks we kind of hope end up being Dynasty QB1 at some point. That's where you're at. It doesn't feel like we got that superstar. So, yeah, if I could trade back even with a contender specifically and be like, yeah, let me get your pick in 26 and let me get, you know, a couple seconds and a third chucked in here. By all means, buddy, you take it. Enjoy Gentee. You think this puts you over the top? Have fun. I'm going to just try to load up and, you know, try to hit some home runs with some of these off-the-wall prospects later on.
Push up or stock up, baby.
Push up or stock up. I love it. That's the motto. We need that on a t-shirt. All right. 104. We're at the tier break, and this part sucks. Like, a lot of people will be screaming, you got to take Tet. I don't like him. I don't hate him. I don't get it. Like, I need to see some Luther Burden film. I need to see some Emeka Ogbuka film. Like, I got to check these. Please, for the love of God, save me. Save me. Maddie, I'm going to do something crazy here, and this is just conviction at the 104 with the other options I'm looking at. I could take a running back. I could take Tet. I could take Burden. I could take Ogbuka. I could take any number of players where I'll just go, okay, I'm not, like, super excited about it. The one thing I could get excited, I'm going to take a home run swing. Give me Travis Hunter, the 104. If I'm wrong and he's a cornerback, I'm wrong. Fuck it. But if I'm right, this dude would be the 101. No questions asked.
Completely agree. Completely agree on Travis Hunter. The more you watch the film, the more it's evident that this guy could be one of the best receivers in the league in short order. So I'm with you there. And I'm also with you... We're fading the Tet McMillan show. I am going to take Luther Burden here at the 105. I just have less concerns for how his game translates. I know the 2024 season productivity wise was putrid, but a year ago, this guy, you know, you look at the yards per route run from a year ago, the yards after catch a year ago, the volume a year ago, it was right on the same page as Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, and Luther Burden, you know, former five-star super prospect. I just could see a clearer picture of Burden becoming something at the NFL without the risk of a Tet McMillan. And in my opinion, and again, it reflected in my NFL Mock 1.0, you can get it at southarmandff.com, I don't think the draft capital is going to be all that crazy different. The more I watch Tet, I think this is a, you know, a draft where we see the running back, the receivers come off the board like we did a couple years ago with Flowers, JSN, Quentin Johnson. I think we see these guys come off late teens, early 20s. So I think the capital will be similar, and I just would rather take the player that I believe is has the higher ceiling and the higher floor.
I can get behind that one, man, because I'll rush to the podium and say, I'm following your train, Emeka Ibuka.
Ooh.
I'm also passing on Tet. But I'm just going with the safety floor, the safety net. Ibuka profiles as a fantastic slot receiver at the next level, good enough in the speed department, really good with the hands, really good with the route running, really good after the catch. Just a super solid, consistent guy. And if he ends up someplace where he is, not going to say he's got to be the number one right out the gate, but if he's a good number two on a decent offense, that's a guy who's going to eat for fantasy. So you're talking about somebody who kind of gives you that blend of like Devontae Smith kind of. Not for the prospect comparison, but I'm talking about just the role in the fantasy production where it's like really good number two, really good guy out there, just pretty damn consistent, you know. So Emeka Ibuka for me, because I don't feel like I have the big cliff with him as I do if I were to take Tet with that spot. So this is just a safety pick here.
And whatever team he lands on, I'm kind of hoping secretly that he lands on a team that has a perceived number one, but isn't a true alpha, because Ibuka's got that dog in him. He's got the work ethic. He's got that winning mentality. If he shows up to Pittsburgh and George Pickens doesn't come correct, Ibuka will steal those targets. Ibuka will be the number one receiver. If he goes out to Denver and builds that rapport with Bo Nix, he's going to immediately be the number two behind Sutton, but Sutton's job is immediately on the hot seat as the number one receiver if he goes to these type of teams. So I like the Ibuka pick. I like the floor.
The dream landing spot, Houston Texans. They let Diggs go. Tank Dell's probably not doing anything next year with that gruesome injury. Nico Collins is that alpha dog. CJ Stroud, locker room, safety blanket underneath. Bye-bye, Dalton Schultz. We don't give a shit about you anyways.
Never did. Ibuka
would be that guy. Yeah, you could see a guy who walks into 110, 120 targets in his rookie year pretty solidly.
And I think his skills, I love that call, because I think his skill set translates. The way we remember how, it feels like forever ago, but remember the beginning of the year, how they were using Stephon Diggs? He had that game where he had two rushing touchdowns or a rushing touchdown and a short receiving touchdown. Like, they used him all over the field. Ibuka could absolutely get into that role and be dynamic with it. So that would be a fantastic landing spot. Here at the 107 for me, it's two players. And spoiler, one is Tet. If this was one of two things, if this was 1.75 TEP, I'm going Warren. Or if he gets that top 10 draft capital, which seems unlikely but possible. But for this, since we don't know, I will go with Tet McMillan. Because if we were doing this draft like we talked about before the NFL draft, and I don't know those factors, I am going to go Tet McMillan here at the 107. I'm not pumped as I once was getting him at the 107. I would have taken Ibuka at the 107 if, let's say, you went Hampton at the 106 and left me the choice. I would have gone Ibuka for the same reasons that you mentioned. And I also keep seeing the Raiders floated out there. I think that is a horrible landing spot for a guy like McMillan. Bowers is the alpha. You ain't getting him off that. Jacoby Myers is a damn good football player. He becomes the chuck it up, Al Lazard type role, even with the seventh overall draft capital, no quarterback. That would be the worst landing spot. The best landing spot for me is if he falls, T. Higgins signs with, say, the Patriots. Tet McMillan kind of slides into that kind of big man role, big body role for the Bengals, high volume passing attack, something like that. But at the 107, I can be okay if he does kind of flounder, given some of the red flags that have been mercifully brought up to my attention recently, Michael.
Oh, unfortunately. I'll say this too. Tet was in consideration for me at 4. In consideration for me with the Ibuka pick. Like, this is the right range for him. Before people get mad and like, holy shit, he went to 7. I think this is the tier. I think this is Travis Hunter to Tet as we stand right now is a pretty solid next tier for me. And it just so happens to be made up of all wide receivers. Yep. Right? Like, by all accounts, as we get more into this, I mean, we'll end up taking some more wide receivers here later, I'm sure, Maddie, but we don't feel really good about any of the other ones that we're super excited about. Like, these are the four guys where you're like, if we could get some wide receivers, it's going to be one of these four. And when you're comparing it to how deep and good the running back class is, this kind of feels like a draft sequencing thing. Like,
yeah,
I'm not getting a wide receiver in the second round that I feel as good about as maybe the running back I'll get in the second round. So take the wide receiver now and then come back in the second round and get your running back. So kind of feels like the next tier for me. Tet, you know, if he goes at four in drafts, I wouldn't have a problem. If he goes higher than four, that's where I start to have the, like, what are we doing? All right, like, I understand he's 6'5", and everyone wants to compliment Mike Evans because he's big. Right? Yeah. Go watch the film, though. Just please. Please just watch a little bit of it. Or if you're not even a film guy, if you're not a film guy, do yourself a favor. Go look at the splits playing outside versus playing in the slot and tell me if you don't see something that's a red flag to you. Because if you don't see it, then that's fine. You just don't see it. But I'm telling you, if you just take a little bit of time to dig into it, you're like, it kind of feels like he's got a problem on the outside. And for a 6'5 wide receiver who's supposed to be this super physical contested catch guy, if you're only beating up on slot corners, linebackers, and fucking strong safeties, and that's how you win at the college level, good fucking luck when those guys at the NFL don't play that shit. Right?
Don't play that shit.
So there's some red flags on him. But you took Tet at 7. I think I'm just going to kick it off now. You know, I know you weren't going to take this guy from me. It's going to be mine. It's a homer pick. Caleb Johnson, Maddie, Caleb, give me Caleb. The only thing that, all right, so we watched Caleb Johnson film, and I got to ingratiate the rest of the South Harmon community to Caleb Johnson film because Caleb Johnson and the defense for the Iowa Hawkeyes is the only thing I have to fucking enjoy in my life as an Iowa Hawkeyes fan, okay? We threw for 1,700 yards total in the entire season. Okay, this offense is not fun outside of Caleb Johnson at this point. He was all I had. And it felt like you knew everything about him. He would win games for us single-handedly. The only thing coming away from the film session that I did actually start to realize, sometimes he's almost too patient and it pisses me off. Now, I did see a terrible, and I'll fucking name names here, man. I like PFF for a lot of stuff they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes their analysis, their writers, you're just spitting bullshit, man. You put that shit in ChatGPT and just threw it out there for the world because one of them idiots said that he doesn't have enough patience. Now, anybody who was in that film session last week or watched the replay of it will know that we pointed out multiple times he's almost too fucking patient at times.
Yeah.
You would like to see him put his fucking foot in the ground and runs through somebody's face at 225 pounds, which he definitely is. He just doesn't sometimes. He's always trying to set up the blocks in the best possible way and find that crease, find that zone lane, and then hit it. You'd like to see him be a little bit more urgent sometimes, but here's a comp for you. All right. Michigan State Le'Veon Bell. Not Pittsburgh Le'Veon Bell. Michigan State Le'Veon Bell. The other knock I see against him all over the place is he doesn't catch passes. The motherfucker caught 22 balls at Iowa that threw for 1,700 yards. Let me say that again. If you want to talk about percentage of pass-catching ability, Caleb Johnson is going to rank really high for this running back class because we just didn't throw the fucking football. He has very natural hands. We don't really know what his route running is. I think he could probably do it, but he also doesn't look like the most fluid guy as far as route running would go, so he may struggle there, but I have no questions about him being on the field for all three downs. The other negative, I guess, if you want to take away, I'll just give you the negatives because the positives are fucking amazing. Good size, great vision, absolute dynamite patience, almost infuriating patience. And then he has enough speed and burst to get through the hole. And he's got enough at the next level to be a really good running back. The other negative, his pass blocking. He's a willing pass blocker. The technique is fucking abysmal sometimes. It's abysmal, right? He will slide correctly to the right side to pick up the fucking blitz. He will shuffle over. My problem having it as a fat guy who likes offensive line play and gets off on blocking is you got to go meet that linebacker, right? Like, you got to go put your fucking face mask into that linebacker. You can't let the linebacker come into you. So I saw that far too often for him on the film breakdown. So the pass blocking does need some work, but it's something that can be corrected. I think the patience thing can be corrected. You don't want to take too much away from him because he also does not fumble the football. He does not turn the fucking football over. He's never fumbled in his career. Caleb Johnson's that dude in RB2 for me. Very close with your favorite love. Now we get to watch the film session this Thursday on Mr. Amarian Hampton. But as it goes right now, as soon as these wide receivers are off the board, I'm just going to start taking fucking running backs left and right, man. Just start throwing all the darts at the running backs, baby.
There's so many running backs. It's unbelievable. So here, of course, running back is very much on the table. The more I dive into it, I think there's one more receiver that I want to take before it completely dries up. And that's Matthew Golden. I'm going to take Matthew Golden here, wide receiver from Texas. Good route runner. Pretty good explosiveness in terms of getting up, getting the ball at the high point. But what I like about this player was his command of the Texas passing game when they needed it most. Quinn Ewers would go his way in all the big scenarios. He outproduced, Isaiah Bond and everyone else on that passing attack. And I do see enough Amon-Ra St. Brown in the game to get me excited using back half first round taking this pick. It's going to pain me to not take Hampton. You know how much I love Hampton. But when I look at this receiver class, not quite comfortable. I know people out there are trying to get me comfortable, but Xavier Restrepo, Trey Harris, Tez Johnson, Jack Besh. I'm still not there being excited about these players at the end of round one. And if we could take anything from last year, we could take how wide open the end of round one can potentially be. Ricky Pearsall got into this question. Ladd McConkey got in here. Jalen Polk got in here. And there was a clear good answer. It was Ladd McConkey. I think that this clear answer is Matthew Golden. So I'm going to take this guy and move on.
Golden, I'm just not quite there yet. But it's still very early in the process, right? So I can tell you, I haven't sat down and done a real deep dive on Matthew Golden yet, right? But my initial impressions were, okay. You know what I mean? But that's the point in this draft that we're at. It's either running backs or, okay. You know what I mean? Let's go with it. Since you didn't take him, though, I'm taking Amarian Hampton. Another freight train, built like Caleb Johnson. Just absolute unit of a running back. Good enough speed, good vision, good burst. Can catch the ball as well. Amarian Hampton, I love that kid. I can't wait to the film session this Thursday, too, so we get to really break him down and compare him to what we just watched with Caleb and get a clear definition. Who's the RB2 of this class?
It's open. The door is still wide open. I think there's five contenders. One, two, three, four, maybe five contenders for the RB2 slot. I'm going to take another contender here for that, a guy that a year ago would have been the clear-cut RB1 in the 24 class, only running back probably of the class that could have had round one considerations. And I think through the process, he will get those round one considerations again, Travion Henderson. The production profile is there considering you have to factor in the Quinshon Judkins. Judkins played pretty much the whole season. Both of them had 900 rushing yards. Henderson had 25 receptions in a split backfield, so he still crossed that 20 kind of reception threshold that we all kind of arbitrarily put out there, but I think with good reason we do that. But the metric that really gets my eye is the yards after contact per attempt. 4.54, number two in the nation, only behind GT. Still a good runner. He's going to have the size. He's going to come in over 200 pounds, probably push 210. At 5'10", we're going to like that. I think he could be top 3 40s in the class. I think his speed will translate. It looks like it on film. And we're starting to hear the hype that there are NFL teams out there that could easily be convinced that this guy's a round one talent, back end of round one. Matter of fact, in that mock 1.0, I did have him going at the end of round one to the Vikings, replacing Aaron Jones. So I'm going to go with Henderson here. I will say this, though. I'm not just buying into this fictitious narrative that I've created. He is the number four running receiver, running back for me. So it's not that I'm overly over his talent compared to Hampton and Caleb Johnson. I still have those guys ahead. I think that the size, the competitive comparisons to other running backs is there with them. So I do like, I think that this mock has kind of gone as I would if I was doing it by myself, but we don't like to play with ourselves, right, Mike?
No.
So, but I'm going to go Henderson here at 11.
I like playing with other people. It's a two-person sport.
We play well with others.
Sometimes three if you get really lucky.
Ooh, a menage, you
know, mock. Yeah, menage sometimes. Never had a four. All right, a four-way. Oh. That'd be fun too. But I'm going to go with his teammate. Give me Quinshon Judkins here. I do agree. I do got Travion over. Travion's also in consideration for RB2. The hype is kind of building with him. You mentioned a lot of things with Travion. Lest we forget the dynamic freshman breakout and just like, oh shit, like this is the dude, and he built on it. And then injuries and some other things kind of happened with him, and he kind of got pushed by the wayside. And then this past year, you're sharing the backfield with Judkins, but you also saw very good moments from Travion. I have Travion over Judkins, but I think Judkins is also very solid. Another kind of bigger body back. He does got some long speed concerns, but we talk about this shit all the time. As long as you're not Audra Estime running a 4.72, really don't give a shit too much. Like he kind of just on tape, like he's broken enough long ones where you're like, eh, it's probably like a 4.5 guy, a 4.52 or 4.53. You know, at 215, 220 pounds, he's gonna be fine. Yeah, he'd be okay.
Yeah.
He's got ridiculous burst. Ridiculous burst. Like, very bursty. You do got some question marks about his receiving chops, but we'll kind of see. I mean, we've seen other backs in the past who just didn't get used as a receiver. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, yeah, he can catch the football. He can do enough. So I don't think he's a negative in that game. His pass blocking is okay. The running ability between the tackles is very good. So at the end of round one, fuck it, just give me another running back that's probably an early day two pick at worst, you know? Like, I think he's going to be solid as well. So give me Quinshon. And then, you know what? At the 2-1, Maddie, we got back-to-backers here. Let's go. Let me get another running back. We back, baby. Give me Ollie Gordon here.
Yeah, baby. I love it. I love that call.
Let me give you 233-pound Ollie Gordon, right? Yep. And we're gonna wish, cast, and hope that this is Ollie Gordon from 2 years ago and not Ollie Gordon from last year. And that last year was everybody else's fault but Ollie Gordon. He still brought it. By all accounts at the Senior Bowl, he wasn't a standout, but he also wasn't. I didn't see anything bad about him other than people were concerned that he was 233 pounds. But from all accounts, man, our boy Cody said he was out there moving well. He looked well. He looked like he could handle the weight. So if he can keep it, he can go to the combine, measure in again at 230 pounds, and go out and run in that 4-5 range. With what he did two fucking years ago, sign me the fuck up for Ollie Gordon here in the second round. I'll definitely shoot my shot on him.
I love that you called it pulled the Ollie Gordon trigger, because I think sometimes just people get too caught up in the recency bias, and he was so nasty in 2023. I think we can get a little bit of that. I think a lot of people are going to be shocked that Tyler Warren is still on the board, but I think what we're displaying here is how little 1.5 TEP does for draft settings. I think that's kind of what we're showing, because I'm not going to go Warren, because you know how I feel about Warren. I'm not dubbing him Brock Bowers 2.0. People can kind of take that and shove it as far as I'm concerned. What I am going to do here is I'm going to go back and learn a little lesson from 2024, and I'm going to kind of play this out in a similar fashion. It will be a gamble, much like it was last year. It clearly paid off, but this year, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm going to go ahead and take who I believe will be the third quarterback off the board, a player that I do believe could potentially sneak into the end of round one throughout the draft season. So I'm willing to take the shot pre-NFL draft. Give me Jackson Dart. Played well enough in the Senior Bowl, kind of grew on scouts throughout the week because they, at first they weren't wowed. But I don't think he's a wild prospect. I think he's a safe prospect with the size, solid mobility. And this is this spot where I was taking my chance on Bo Nix a year ago. And, of course, those paid off in spades. This may not, but I'm going to go with process over results and take my third quarterback here in my rankings, Jackson Dart.
Hey, I love it, man. I love it. You're taking the risk. If he does end up sneaking into the back of round one, big dub. If he goes early day two, big dub, you know, in the second round of this class. I mean, right now I'm just on this running back kick. So, you know, at this point, fuck it, man. You're taking the super flex upside, kind of like the Travis Hunter pick I took at four. Now, you didn't have to spend the 104 to take a massive upside swing. You got to spend the 202. I don't mind it, man. I don't mind it. He's got a little buzz around him, a little buzz. You know, people are already talking Raiders at six or whatever the fuck. Like, all right, pump the brakes, boys.
Unbelievable.
I don't know about that, but Raiders in the second? Raiders in the second could be fun. Could be fun. I'm going to take another running back, Matty. And this is a guy that I've liked for a while. I will say the Senior Bowl buzz did him a lot of service. One, the Senior Bowl buzz started when this motherfucker weighed in, and I went, oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I was not familiar with you like that. You a girthy boy. Give me Devin Neal, man. Just a guy who's produced. Devin Neal has just produced. He has looked very good throughout his collegiate career. And then the fact this man is over 220 pounds with the way he plays, sign me the fuck up. I'm sitting here with like my, before the Senior Bowl, like my comp is like, he kind of reminds me a little Aaron Jones, like a little Aaron Jones, like I get a little Aaron Jones feel to him. And then I find out it's 220 pound Aaron Jones. daddy like. Thor just did a fantastic write up with him. His feet are absolutely insane. Like he's got great feet quickness. You know, love them running backs with them quick feet. So Devin Neal, I think at worst case scenario, Matty, I'm probably looking at a third rounder or an early fourth rounder with the draft capital. But I think he's one of those guys that's going to come in and you're going to be like, damn, I know he went, you know, at the end of the third or the early part of fourth, but Devin Neal's got a role like right out the gate. He's got a big time role too. I would comp it a little bit better than like a Ray Davis role with Buffalo. You remember how Ray Davis started out the year and you're like, damn, Ray Davis playing a lot. Ray Davis is out here. He's moving. So Devin Neal, I think that's a realistic form. I think that's probably like worst case scenario. Best case scenario, we're always looking for those second round running backs where some team took them and you're like, all right, this guy's like the 1B. I don't know if he'll be the 1B, but he might be a really good number two at worst. So Devin Neal for me, Matty.
Man, when you really think about it, there's a chance that these running backs come into the NFL and just eradicate jobs. I mean, just absolutely annihilate jobs across the league. And I'm here for it because Devin Neal is awesome. I'm going to keep kicking the tight end can down the road. I'm going to take a running back here. He's my next running back in my ranks, Cam Scatabo. He's probably not going to test well, but the kid is a fucking baller. He's going to have the right size. Tank of a player, 2,200 yards from scrimmage this year, big-time receiving numbers, good yards after contact, good elusive metrics, scored 29 fantasy points per game at the running back position. He actually outscored Ashton Ginty in terms of fantasy points. Am I going to take him with a 204? No. I mean, at the 104? No. But the 204, after being able to get a guy like in for this specific build, like I grabbed Golden and then Scatabo, I think there's a lot of upside here to be had with Scatabo. And for all the people that were clamoring over Blake Corum and now are poo-pooing Cam Scatabo, I have one question for you. What gives you the right?
How dare you?
How dare you? Because come on. I feel like Cam Scatabo with Blake Corum are going to look a lot similar in size, stature, and athleticism, and yet one guy was a mega producer, and one guy was Blake Corum. So give me Cam Scatabo.
One guy was Blake Corum. Oh, my God. What a savage line. I got one more running back here in my system, right, before I kind of pass for a little bit, I think, you know, until we let the board play out. I'm also kicking the tight end can down the board. And it's not because I don't think Tyler Warren is good, right? It's not because I don't have conviction in Luke Lachey. It's the fact that there's so many good tight ends.
Yep.
That I don't really know, right? Like, if we were to take, or if I were to take Tyler Warren in round one, you know, let's say instead of where I took Caleb Johnson, I'm still probably in this mid part of the second, and I guarantee you in the third, still getting a tight end that I'm like, motherfucker's almost as good, if not better, than Tyler Warren, right? Like, so I just, in a half-point tight end premium, it's not enough of a difference maker for me either. Generally, I play with the tight ends don't matter strategy anyways. I'm going to roll out fucking Hunter Henry and just be fine. You know, I'm going to try to shoot for the next Jonnu Smith, that kind of surprise anyways. So I'm not investing a lot of capital into tight ends. So I'm also still going to kick this down, and people are probably pissed about it, but that's fine. Last running back for me right now, and I got him neck and neck with Scadabo at this point, another bowling ball size freak, Damian Martinez. Martinez. Nobody got to see him when he played out in Oregon State for good reason. No one cares. This year with Cam Ward, you got to see him. Now, the crazy part is you got to see him and Mark Fletcher. No Mark Fletcher in this class, but also, like, these dudes are built. Like, these guys are just absolute units playing in that Miami backfield. So, Damian Martinez is a very solid, tough runner. Kind of in the mold of Cam Scatterball. The elusive metrics aren't going to look as good. Cam Scatterball was a fucking freak in breaking tackles. Just an absolute freak this past year in breaking tackles. And I just bumped him behind Devin Neal right after this Senior Bowl, where Devin Neal came out and just dominated. So Damian Martinez still very good in his own right, but just got to preface that there. He once was a little bit higher for me, but he has since moved down a few spots. But I'm very happy to get him here at the 205.
Look at this run, Mike, since the 108. Johnson, 110 Hampton, 111 Henderson, 112 Judkins, 2-1 Gordon, 2-3 Neal, 2-4 Scadabo, 2-5 Martinez. And I feel good about every single one of them, I won't lie. Could be wrong. Have been before. But this is a tier break for me at the running back position, because now some of the guys that I like next aren't the guys highest in the queue. And of course, we don't draft based on the queue, but I think you can take a little indication of where things may start to fall. So I will go tight end here. I will go with Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren is not my tight end one in my rookie ranks, but if he gets the top half of round one draft capital, it will change. He will be based on just the draft capital. But the reason why I kicked the can down the road, and I would, you know, maybe you can explain your kind of thought on it even more so than you just did, is just I kind of look at it as I think we're going to see Warren and Loveland have similar draft capital. So for me, I'm willing to keep playing Rochambeau until I see Tyler Warren come off the board. I think once I see Warren come off the board, I will be a little bit more aggressive in getting Fannin Jr. based on draft capital or Loveland. And if I'm drafting before the NFL draft, I probably will just punt that again until I have to take Fannin third, because you know how I feel about him. But given the fall 2-6, I'll take Warren here. There's a number of landing spots that I do think would be great for his prospect. I just wonder if the prospect is worth the hype. But at the 208 or at the 2-6, I don't really have to worry as much.
Nope, that's a good pick too. At the worst, you got a hell of a value, right? Because you can tradability. Right. It's the next Brock Bowers, bro.
I saw Brock on Twitter today traded for 325 firsts and a 27 second.
Good lord, yep. Say tradability. It's a good pick.
And I love Bowers, but wow.
I was waiting for somebody to break the tight end seal, so I could go tight end. Nah, actually not. I'm not going tight end, Matty. Not going to do it yet. Not going to pull the trigger yet. I'm shooting for upside. This guy had a fucking terrible Senior Bowl. Got a lot of questions. Draft stock definitely took a hit. There's still time. There's still time to salvage it. And at the 207, it is a super flex league after all. Give me the only running quarterback in this fucking draft, Jalen Milroe. And please, God, figure it out. please at least work your way up into second round draft capital in some way. I can just tell myself a story. The guy is a dynamic athlete, and he's got an arm. It's just not very accurate. It doesn't make the best decisions. and the Senior Bowl was god-awful for him. There's still time, but there's another just upside swing in this class, right? Instead of taking a tight end here or another running back or a wide receiver I don't really like, fuck it, at 207, please, please figure it out. Like, just give me something, Jalen. Give me something. Give me some hope, man. Give me 2 years of like a Malik Willis career arc where you're like, oh, okay, now he's starting. He looked good. Maybe some team will take a chance on him. Yeah, maybe. That's what I'm clinging to.
So I'm actually going to stop a little bit of a wide receiver drought here. And I'm going to take Trey Harris. Harris kind of is at the top of my next tier. That's him, Restrepo. One of my favorite receivers that's kind of on the rise. No, it's not Jack Besh. It's Kyle Williams. But I'm going to go ahead and take Trey Harris. He's got the size, 6'3", 210. Looked super electric on the field with Ole Miss. I know the Ole Miss system is very advantageous for wide receivers, but we've seen wide receivers from Ole Miss translate the NFL. And here at the 2-8 feels a lot like that territory where we were taking DK Metcalf all those years ago. I'm not comparing the two. I don't think their games are really the same, but I do think that the upside, the gamble here at the 2-8 feels like where I'm willing to take a Trey Harris.
I can get behind that too. I'm interested too when we get later on in this film session to put on some Trey Harris, because I'm not really familiar with Mr. Trey Harris's game, so I'm looking to be wowed. I'm looking to get excited about him. So I don't mind that one. I'm also going to take a wide receiver here, Maddie. And this guy is just purely off of traits. And by traits, I mean one, Isaiah Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, 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 baby. You know, the NFL loves dirty, hot, nasty speed. Isaiah Bond definitely has some issues, but when you look at him and Golden, if I'm an NFL franchise, I don't see much difference between the two other than Isaiah Bond runs faster, a lot faster. So I know Matt Golden's got some speed. He's got some speed, but he don't got Isaiah Bond speed. So at the back part of the second round here, we're hoping we get that second round Tyquan Thornton draft cap. Right? So we can sell. Look, he was a second round pick. I'm going to use him as a deep threat. So we're going Isaiah Bond, and hopefully he can develop a little bit better.
Yeah, for me, I think this is the perfect spot. I think when push comes to shove, a lot of these I think Bond's going to get elevated a little too much. So I don't think I'll have a lot of Bond, but if he falls to the end of the second, I'm willing to take that shot on a guy that didn't produce per se, but, has the traits. And like you said, that dirty, hot, nasty speed.
If you ain't first or last.
Exactly. So I'm going to wrap this up. We have a few more picks, 3 picks here till we're done with the rookie draft. So at the 210, I'm going to go ahead and take my guy, Harold Fannin Jr. Mega producer at Bowling Green. Did a lot at the Senior Bowl to prove that he belongs. And probably most importantly, came in weighing at 237 and still looked agile at that weight. I think that was a good threshold for him. Colson Loveland will probably be drafted ahead of Fannin. I mean, did you see DJ's top 50? He had him at 7 overall.
Yeah.
Clearly, yeah. He's hearing things and seeing things with Colson Loveland that's going to elevate. But, drafting before the NFL draft like we're doing, we're preparing for, I'm just going to go with my process and take a guy that I think that could produce if he finds the right landing spot. And at the 210, I think the gamble is worth it.
I can get behind that one too, man. We're at the perfect time here where I just start slamming tight ends, man. Mm-hmm. Pun intended. I do agree with you. Colson Loveland probably goes ahead of Fannin. So with my pick, listen, Luke Lachey is my tight end one. I said it last week and I said it with my chest. That's my guy. But we're in a rookie draft here. It's about value. Give me Colson Loveland. Give me Daniel Jeremiah's number 7 player in his top 50.
Crazy.
I still like Luke Lachey, but I can tell you the draft capital is probably going to go to Colson Loveland. Now, I don't know how crazy it's going to be. You might have like first round versus third round, which is enough in rookie drafts to really sway value on how people do. I'm just telling you, Luke Lachey might end up as the best tight end of this class, and that might probably will. Probably will. There we go. I'll be more pertinent with it. But I do agree, though, between you took Warren at the 206. Now here we're hammering Fannin. We're having Loveland. We're having Luke Lachey in the conversation. If this went on three rounds or four rounds, Elijah Arroyo is going to enter the conversation. Mm-hmm. Ronda Gadsden, you know, Gunnar Helm, Mitchell Evans, one of my favorite, like, fifth round rookie picks that you could probably make. There's a lot of really good tight ends in this draft. But anytime you're going to have somebody with a round one draft capital floated out there at the tight end position, to get him at the 211 or the back half of the second round, that's a fucking dub. That's a dub all day, even though tight ends don't matter, Matty. Yeah. Give me Colston.
So I'm going to wrap this things up here, the 212. So at the 212, it's a bit of a gift and a curse, especially this early, because we're already at the phase here, and I hate to say it, because I don't think talent-wise it's fair at all. But we've hit the spot here where, you know, running backs may not get a shot, may not really get much sniff. It might be all luck-dependent based on injuries and whatnot. Because it's not that they're not good, but we've taken nine running backs already. Nine running backs.
That's a lot.
Have come off the board. So... yeah, I love R.J. Harvey. I love LaQuint Allen. I love Breshad Smith. I kind of like Dylan Sampson. I love Taj Brooks. I like Woody Marks. But am I going to take the upside here at the end of the second of a guy that, you know, could fall by the wayside, a la, you know, the guys we've seen throughout the past, a guy kind of like Roschon Johnson, right? We liked Roschon. He just happened to go after too many running backs where he didn't get that requisite situation. So I don't know if I want to go running back. Receivers, I feel like receivers is the same as the running backs with less upside because I don't know where to go. Yep. Yeah, I like Jack Besh. I love what he did at the Senior Bowl. But I like it more because of the narrative of what he did for, you know, honoring his brother. I think that was cool as fuck. And he was a bad motherfucker for, you know, just rising the occasion. I love that. But I can't act like he wasn't wide receiver 20 before the Senior Bowl. I'm not going to make him a second round pick. So I'm going to go a little unconventional here, and I'm going to take a player that has tremendous, tremendous risk, but has upside, and you're going to hate to hear it, but I'm going to take Will Howard here, given the Superflex format. I like the way he played in the college football playoffs for the Buckeyes. He's got the size. He didn't run a lot last year at OSU, but he did run at Kansas State. And when I watched his film from Kansas State, I thought he was one of the most effective, you know, goal-to-go quarterbacks in all of football. And could he land somewhere on day two? I'm starting to think, yeah, especially if a team doesn't want to take on a project like Milroe. For rookie purposes, of course I'm going to go Milroe because of the rushing upside. But I'm going to take this quarterback here because I don't think there's another quarterback that's worth even being drafted in rookie drafts after Howard. So I'm willing to take the risk here at the 212.
Hey, I can get behind it, man. I can get behind it. Will Howard at the end. Why not? 212. Shoot your shot. Let's go. I fucking hated him, but he definitely made himself some money, and he earned a little special place in my heart with his college football playoff performance because that guy was out there fucking balling. You know? Yeah. Real recognized real. He was out there being real. There's still a ton. You talked about Dylan Sampson. You talked about Taj Brooks. There's a ton of interesting running backs. There's a ton of interesting tight ends. Mm-hmm. There's a few wide receivers out there that I have some interest in. You know, Jalen Noel had himself a fucking Senior Bowl. His teammate, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, also big boy. Big boy who can go out, move pretty fluidly. There's some wide receivers that have interest, and I just have no idea if the NFL is going to value them or give them actual draft capital. It's going to mean shit to me.
Right.
I think, Maddie, if we went on three rounds, as it stands right now, it'd be a shit ton of tight ends and a shit ton of running backs and the occasional wide receiver just chucked in like, fuck it, Jalen Royals.
That's right. That's right.
We're just going to toss some in there. That's kind of how the third round will play out. But second round in the books, and just to recap for everybody, Gene T1, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Luther Burden, Emeka Buka, Tet McMillan, Caleb Johnson, Matthew Golden, Amarian Hampton, Travion Henderson, and his teammate Quinshon Judkins. There's your first round. And the second round, a shit ton of running backs. Ollie Gordon, Jackson Dart, Devin Neal, Cam Scatterball, Damian Martinez, Tyler Warren, Jalen Milrow, Trey Harris, Isaiah Bond, Harold Fannin, Colston Loveland, and Will Howard. Now, Maddie, my biggest takeaway from this is you're going to tell me I'm going to get Luke Lachey sometime in the third round if we're doing rookie drafts right now? Clapping cheeks, boy. Clapping cheeks.
Listen, it's funny. We kind of break the fourth wall here in the private chat. Are we going to do three rounds? We're going to do just two. If we were to go three rounds, I'm looking at it now, it would be seven, eight running backs in the third round. It just keep peppering it. It keep peppering it because this is going to be unprecedented with the amount. Like I've said it before, I'll say it again. Looking at my rookie running back ranks, I truly believe in my heart of hearts, my top 26, seven, top 28 running backs have the skill set to play in the NFL. Will they? No. There's only so many jobs. There's only so many rookies that can come in, but I have Donovan Edwards at running back 21. This guy was pushing Blake Corum aside just a couple of years ago. This guy still has the skills. We saw him running routes at the Senior Bowl. Corey Kiner was a mega producer last year at Cincinnati. Good yards after contact. Good elusiveness in his metrics. He's my running back 23. He may never play in the NFL, but looking at him on film, looking at his production profile, he should. He's capable. So one of two things is going to happen. We're going to see a lot of good players not get jobs, or we're going to see a lot of crust burnt off of the NFL, you know, stratosphere. You know, we're going to see a lot of older one-year patchwork number two, three running backs being pushed aside for the young buck.
A little bit of a changing of the guard, I think, is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, which is really fitting because that 2017 running back class was absolutely fucking elite. And here we are, 8 years later in the RB life cycle. Perfect time for, the proverbial forest fire. Burn out all the old growth. Let all the new stuff come in. Maddie, what do we got for an outro song here? I was thinking.
Okay.
I was thinking, if you don't like it, that's fine. I know you're a Drizzy guy. You're kind of a Drizzy guy. But in honor, Kendrick Lamar, cleaning up at the Grammys. You know, is it time for Not Like Us? Is it time for Not Like Us, or they make you quit the show and you never come back?
We can play it.
look how fucking depressed you are when you said it. You can't see it, but you can hear it in his voice, people. You can hear it in his voice.
You gave me what was it the other day, the pop song, so I'll give you this one.
Alright. I get one for the people not like us. Let's do it. Let's fucking crank it. Alright, Maddie. Anything else you got for the people before we bounce out of here? I did mention keep a lookout, rookie scouting guide. Rookie guide will be out here. Man, in a few short weeks. The team is hard at work, grinding their ass off. If you also want to get some film sessions, I mentioned it on here, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Get yourself in the door, hook up the film sessions, and mock draft Mondays. Those are a real thing. More shit going on in the Patreon exclusive stuff. It's a great place to be. Get your questions answered, help you with the startups, or participate in one of the weekly events, bi-weekly at this point, twice a week. Is that what bi-weekly means, or is that every 2 weeks?
I think bi-weekly is every 2 weeks.
Fuck. All right. I don't know. Fuck it. Who cares?
We're tag-teaming every week. We're Eiffel-towering every week.
Let's go. We already talked about three subs and four subs and, yeah, whatever it is. Anything else you got, Maddie?
No, I just want to let all the listeners know, you know, now is the time to not only keep rocking with South Harmon, but let your friends know, let even your most hated league mates know, because we got a lot coming. As Mike mentioned, the rookie guide is coming out strong, and we're catering it to our crowd. We're catering it to our community in a way that, quite frankly, just has never been done before. And that's kind of speaking boldly, considering how many draft guides are out there. But I think we're really tackling this in a new, fresh way. Very, very excited for that. So be on the lookout, SouthHarmonFF.com. And most importantly, join the Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Just become a member of the community, member of the Discord. I mean, we're talking shit literally all day. It's really a blast. And it's just nothing like being part of the community. So make sure you're patreon.com/SouthHarmon all day long, baby.
Let's go. We appreciate everybody tapping in. We'll be back here same time, same place next week for the next episode of the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We love you. We are out of this thing.
They not like us.
Hey, mustard on the beat, ho, Debo, any rap nigga, he a free throw, man down, call like Amber Lambs, tell him breathe, bro, nail a nigga to the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these jabroni ass niggas trying to see Compton? The industry can hate me, fuck them all and they mama, how many ops you really got? I mean, it's too many options, I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton. Beat your ass and hide the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show niggas. Certified boogeyman, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time, I know he got some hoe in him. Pole on him, extort shit, bully the flow on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any bitch that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs and party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 dot, fuck him up. Wop, 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 I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a bitch, ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. You think the Bay gon' let you disrespect Pop, nigga? I think that Oakland show gon' be your last stop, nigga. They cold foul, I don't know why you still pretending. What is the owl? Bird niggas and bird bitches, go. The audience not dumb, shape the stories how you want. Hey Drake, they're not slow. Rabbit hole is still deep, I can go further, I promise. Ain't there something? B-Rest, that's for bitchin'. You Malibu most wanted, ain't no law boy, you ball boy. Fish Gatorade or something. Since 2009, I had this bitch jumpin'. You niggas will get a wedgie, be flipped over your boxes. Or over your foe, the other vaginal option. Pussy, nigga better straighten they posture. Got famous all up in contact, might write this with a doctor. Tell a pop star quit hiding, fuck a caption, won't action. No accident, I'm hands on, he fuck around, get polished. Fucked on Wayne girl while he was in jail, that's conniving. Then get his face tatted like a bitch apologizing. I'm glad D Rose came home, y'all didn't deserve him neither. From Alondra down to Central, nigga better not speak on Serena. And your homeboy needs subpoena, that predator moving flocks. That name gotta be registered and placed on neighborhood watch. I lean on you niggas like another line of walk. Yeah, it's all eyes on me and I'ma send it up the park. Ayy, put the roll label on me, I'ma get them drop, ayy, sweet chin music and I won't pass the ox, ayy, how many stocks do I really have in stock, ayy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5, ayy, devil is a lie, he a 69 god, ayy, freaky ass niggas need to stay their ass inside, ayy, roll their ass up like a fresh pack of Zon, ayy, city is back up, it's a must, we outside, ayy. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. Once upon a time, all of us was in chains. Homies still doubled down, calling us some slaves. Atlanta was the mecca, building railroads and trains. Bear with me for a second, let me put y'all on game. The settlers was using town folk to make them richer. Fast forward 2024, you got the same agenda. You run to Atlanta when you need a check balance. Let me break it down for you, this the real nigga challenge. You caught Future when you didn't see the club. Hey, what? Lil Baby help you get your lingo up. What? 21, get your first street cred. Thug made you feel like you a slime in your head. Hey, what? Quavo said you can be from Northside. What? 2 Chainz say you good, but he lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you not a colleague, you a fucking colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter. Here was God's plan to show y'all the liar. He a fan, he a fan, he a fan. He a fan, he a fan, he a freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for
let
your life.
Let me hear you say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Then step this way, step that way. Then step this way, step that way. Are you my friend? Are we locked in? Then step this way, step that way. Then step this way, step that way.